B-Pod Studios.
And it will change your own. Unbound.org.
The Orlando Magic made Duke's Paolo Banchero the first overall pick in last night's NBA draft. Gonzaga's Chet Holmgren went second to OKC. Jabari Smith out of Auburn went third to Houston. Celtics did not pick until the second round, where they nabbed Alabama freshman J.D. Davison with the 53rd overall selection. A couple of trades went down last night. The Pistons acquiring Kemba Walker from the Knicks, part of a three-team trade involving the Hornets that also saw the Pistons acquire the draft rights to Jalen Duren. Detroit is expected to buy out Kemba's contract. The 76ers traded the 23rd pick from the draft and small forward Danny Green to Memphis for shooting guard D'Anthony Melton. Memphis will get the rights to guard David Roddy. Philadelphia selected him at number 23 out of Colorado State. Boo. Red Sox back tonight. They're in Cleveland to take on the Guardians. Nick Pivetta and Cal Quantrill, the starters. According to Joe McDonald of the Worcester Telegram, Patrice Bergeron expected to return to the Bruins on a one-year deal. And in other NHL news, Game 5 of the Cup Finals in Colorado. The Avalanche lead the Lightning 3-1. Valvoline Instant Oil Change wants to help you prepare your car for all your road trips. They offer completely contactless service and 15-minute drive-through oil changes. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your next oil change. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next check of the headlines at 6:30.
All the trolls come out at night.
Right, forgot about that. Shame on me.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season 4, your mom's a whore. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have 4 recliners. He has 3.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Fred is a massive dick. Rich is a nerd loser. Rest in peace to Wallach's gap teeth. We miss them. Fred is a dick. Fred is a dick. Fred's a dick. Joe Murray likes him thick. Fred's a dick. Joe Murray likes him thick. Fred is a dick. Fred is a dick. Fred's a dick. Joe Murray likes him thick. Fred's a dick. One day Nick felt sick, felt the rumble in his belly. His girlfriend found him with poop in his pants. Young Nicholas pooped his pants. Young Nicholas pooped his girlfriend, found him with poop in his pants. Young Nicholas pooped his pants. Young Nicholas pooped Mark Tremelli.
It is the Toucher and Rich Show in what has become a post-apocalyptic studio that we are sitting in. If you haven't heard us incessantly talking about it, our studio is moving, but in the meantime, where the people who work in the office used to go, who no longer go, who haven't been here in like 3 years.
Yeah, people did come in before.
Yeah, people did come in before, which, by the way, I have no problem with. I know there's some people who get very angry that there aren't other people coming into the office. I don't care. Like, to me, it's just less people that I have to deal with. I like seeing people. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't affect my day at all. However, they have torn down all of the cubicles that are in this area, and it looks like something. Do you remember what was that movie with Ben Affleck where they were running the scams.
Boiler Room.
A great movie. Like, shockingly good.
Giovanni Ribisi, right.
Great movie. And I think even Vin Diesel showed up for a quick moment.
Vin Diesel is one of the senior executives. That's right.
It's amazing how Vin Diesel at one point was considered an okay actor.
Yeah, he was good in that movie.
He actually
showed acting chops in that movie before he just decided to go all car.
All Dom Toretto on us. And then just went nuts, you know, making it look like all of the actors and directors for his movies are hostages on his TikTok. I don't know if you've seen those awkward things that he's done.
At your direction, I went and looked, and I just feel so sorry for those people. I mean, it's a scene out of a very bad movie where the evil guy can't act, and all these people are doing their best to just kind of hold up the movie while this guy is on screen.
In other words, a Fast and Furious movie.
Yes.
Well, the recent ones.
I still haven't seen the last one. I still have not gone and seen it. I've wanted to. It's available on any streaming service you want at this point.
It's fine.
And I still have not gone back. It's 2 hours, right?
Okay.
I've not gone. It's 9, right? We're on 9 and 10 is being made.
The one thing about this one is, listen, I mean, they're Fast and Furious movies. They're dumb. We know this.
I barely made it through the last one.
All right. But the stunts were, like, over the top, but they were always, like, inspired. Like, you saw the stunts and you were like, okay, this is so absurd what they're doing, but it's so unbelievably cool that they've filmed this. Like, there was the one where I think it was in Dubai, and they smashed through one building.
That's the last one I saw.
That's number seven.
That's a good one.
That's number seven.
That was awesome.
That's the one with Get Low in it. I know that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So right.
Ronda Rousey was in it, right?
Yeah. So that's the last of the good ones. So there was like
same scene actually.
There's a block. I think it's like 4, 5, 6, and 7. There's a chunk of them that are actually really good.
Yes.
And of course, the action scenes, like when they're yanking the safe down the middle of the road and smashing into buildings.
That's 5.
Yeah. They're totally absurd, but they're like awesome. They went in this new one, totally absurd, and it just is so absurd that it sucks. Yeah. Like, they go to space in it.
Really?
How
do you get a car? I don't want to spoil the surprise.
It's like the movie.
But
Ludacris puts like a rocket engine on the back of his Tercel or whatever cars that they race.
Toyota Tercel?
Yeah. It's always like a horrible car,
1987?
Yeah. Like, I mean, those super fast cars that they used to drag race, right? Of course, other than Dom's. But, I mean, the ones that traditionally were never, like, great cars. They were just, like, these crappy cars.
But a Tercel, I mean, you might as well get a Datsun and do it that way.
Yeah, it's like a crap car. And they, like, go to space, but they don't really do anything up there. And there's no, like, real payoff. And it was just... It was almost as if somebody from the, like Vin Diesel read on the internet, what's next? They're going to space. Like, you watch. And the next thing you know, they put it in there where they didn't even think about it. I don't even know how I got to this topic. Oh, yeah. Boiler Room. It's my.
Yeah.
This
is how it goes. Boiler Room. Yes.
Boiler Room. So, yeah. So it looks just absolutely post-apocalyptic in here. And, you know, it's like when people are, you ever like moved from a home and you think you were going to have that moment where you're like, oh, we've had all these memories in the home and, you know, this is going to be like a tough move. And then you see all the crap that's been collecting behind the furniture and you see like piles of mouse turds and like things that look like they could be like partially dead animal parts and things like that. Maybe I'm the only one who lived in those kind of conditions.
Oh, no.
But now I don't have that feeling as far as the memories from here are concerned, but I'm still getting the mouse parts section of that experience right now.
All right. Here's the thing. And it's an open floor plan. As we look out the studio, like at 2 o'clock to the right is the open floor plan where all the cubes are.
Right.
And they're taking them all down, and you look and you see all the dirt and disgusting things that were left behind.
Yeah.
The people that sit in that area are supposed to be like all perfumed up and all jacket and tie and, you know, representing the station and the cluster of stations we work for. There's some disgusting stuff over there.
Yeah, like it's
gross. I mean, really gross stuff. And it kind of makes you wonder, you know, some of the habits of some of these people.
Like now I'm wondering whether this place was infested.
Seriously.
Like
Have you seen the fridge?
No.
No, in any radio station.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I never go. I mean,
that's true.
I'm not a guy who brings his lunch.
No.
There's a freezer there. It's one of those bottom drawer freezers. Open that.
He's right.
Oh, come on.
Yep. What's in there?
Just like, you know, it's
stuff that's just been left. Like people leave it, so then a year later, it's either you can't identify what it is, even in the freezer, because it's frozen and sort of morphed into something else. But yeah.
Yeah.
No,
he's right about that.
I think there was like a guest that came to the station, and I don't know who it was who I overheard. It was like one of the sales guys was showing around and said, "Hey, feel free to take anything from the table downstairs." and the table is basically where all the
ice scrapers and
There's a book. There's a book downstairs, and I think I told you about this. There's a book downstairs that said how to make a lot of money selling cars to women.
That's the title of the book.
Is it still there?
There's 10
of them down there.
On the table.
That's a book I want to read.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go get you a copy. There are 16 of them piled up the table downstairs.
So it just says, that's the Dorchester experience. Rat turds everywhere. I'm not kidding you. Like, I'm looking around. I'm like, I think this place was infested.
Rich, I'm here at night. Okay. Yeah, yeah. What, we leave at night?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
animals,
yeah.
Use, I mean, there's, it is. there's a dumpster out back. There's rats all over the place.
Okay, so you see the rats all over. Okay.
I've seen skunks. There's all sorts of stuff.
There's skunks in this area?
Definitely.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't think I've seen a skunk in the wild since I was like a kid.
I walked outside once and there was a skunk like sat on the door. Like American Sniper, like ready for us to come out the door. We're sitting there.
You need to move out to the suburbs like I am. I have like a marshy area next to where I live. There are skunks all over the place.
See, I see ass loads of rabbits. Obviously, squirrels are insane. If there's any kind of critter, my dog finds it. I mean, he's one of these dogs where he can see something from across the park and will just take off and be missing for probably like 15 minutes just trying to find this thing. So if there's one out there, he sees it. But it's all mice, rats, squirrels, tons of rabbits. I haven't seen a skunk.
Well,
are they really that prevalent?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you are a city guy. You've always wanted to live there. Ever since you moved away from your childhood home, you've always preferred living in
the
city.
I've lived on top of a restaurant for the last over 20 years.
Okay, so, I mean, that's the difference. You don't see skunks. They don't wander around where there's a grid laid out and a lot of traffic lights.
But, I mean, I go to parks and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of parks.
Skunks are nocturnal. Don't they come out at night, I think? Right?
I don't know.
I think skunks only come out at night.
Oh, really?
I've only ever seen them at night.
Because I haven't talked to anybody. Like, you guys been sprayed by one like recently?
No, we all waited for the thing to leave. We're sitting there waiting in the doorway for him to, bleep off.
Because I've heard of people having their, like, dogs sprayed before and like that. And how do you get that off? Is that still the old tomato bag? Is that, who has enough tomato sauce to, like, take a bath in it?
It's like tomato juice.
Yeah, but what do you do? You just like...
You get those big, those big cans. Crack them open, dump them in the tub. And then
is that right?
Yeah.
Is that easy?
Dan, you live in Maine. You've got to...
No, I'm agreeing with Arcan. I think that the old... It's not an old wives' tale, but you're supposed to just take a bath of tomato juice.
Who has enough tomato juice to take a bath
then the awesome thing is then when that goes down the drain, just think of how much of that actually sticks to the to the pipes as it goes down.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic.
No one has it. You got to go get it, but, like, that's what you do.
Yeah, but, I mean, is there any grocery store that has enough tomato juice for you to take a bath in it?
No.
No. No one's ever done
that. Hydrogen peroxide, I'm being told.
I am going to put it out there that no one has ever taken a bath in tomato juice, ever. Like, that's something that people say, and so they've done, but it's never been done before.
People have died. We did it with our dog once. We poured it over the dog. And then we wiped the dog.
All right, so you poured a can of tomato sauce
in
the dog.
No, like a bunch. It wasn't sauce. It was juice, but like it was a bunch of them. It was like these big tubs.
Tomato
juice.
We
pierce them and then dump them over the dog. And then
the old can opener with the little sharp thing on the
dog. Yeah, exactly. Right.
You do that with pineapple juice and tomato juice. You one on one side, you spin it around, you do the other to let the air out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that sounds like a fun day. All right, well. It's just very weird, and as I said, I'm surprised there isn't like something squirming on a trap out there.
Well, we're not going to see Fred again, right?
We talked about this
yesterday.
It's over. I mean, now that and no one's. And by the way, I don't care. Like, everyone can broadcast from wherever. People don't even have to come into the studio. It doesn't matter to me as long as the show goes on. I'm completely fine with it. But it is somewhat hysterical that, like, this place has just been abandoned, and now once they tear it down, it's like, wow, all this crap has been here hiding under all of these, like, things for, like, at least 3 years. At least pre-pandemic, there's been, like, half-eaten food that's been sitting out there, and it's all just resting on the ground.
It's the, it's we are kind of used to it, though. I mean, ever since February of 2020, it's kind of been like this more often than not.
How do you sell a car to a woman?
I don't know. We're going to have to go down and get that book off the table and find
out. Where's some sweet cologne? I want to find out who the guy is who wrote this.
Sounds like something I need to get into. All right, 617-779-0985. The great Christian Arcan is going to be in with us this morning. And we've got, obviously, a lot to talk about. The draft happened last night. And Brad Stevens is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock. You know, listen, the Celtics draft, whatever. We'll talk about who they drafted because it was late into the night. But to me, it's more about what is the plans for the Celtics and what is going on right now with the Brooklyn Nets and the rest of the NBA, because this could be another offseason of just dramatic change. And to be quite honest, I am enjoying the downfall and the fire sale that's going on between Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. There's no team that I wish more ill will on than that one. Anyway, it's actually not even the team. It's those guys. I got nothing wrong with the ownership of the Nets. They're fine. Just I want to see them suffer.
They gifted us our two superstars,
that's
man.
True. Yes.
Nothing wrong with the Nets.
There's no question. So we will get to all of that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This is Dan and Rick Flair and Nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Well, it's Toucher and Rich. We are in the Town Fair Tire studio, and just about 45 minutes ago, this happened.
With the 53rd pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select J.D. Davison from the University of Alabama.
Oh, well, at least this wasn't a year where Celtics fans all called in the next morning complaining about who they picked, because at 53, who really cares? It's a crapshoot. Speaking of that, Christian, didn't you and Adam Jones work the Celtics NBA draft broadcasts where people were booing the Jaylen Brown pick?
That was before my time. My first show was the Robert Williams draft.
Oh, okay.
And that's when they cut Jones's mic when he was asking Danny Ainge about it.
Oh, that's right.
He was asking about
that the next morning.
Robert Williams got suspended in Texas or something, and so Jones grabbed the mic and he was about to ask Ainge a question about it, and in the middle of the question, the mic shorted out.
Just shorted out, quote
yeah,
unquote?
Shorted out.
Because I'm trying to think back. Like Adam Jones, you know, he's usually, and I take it there wasn't a draft party last night if they only had
weren't invited. I know that.
Okay. I mean, it would have been a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah.
But I know that there was the infamous booing of the Jaylen Brown pick at the draft party, which is kind of funny looking back now. I'm trying to remember who was on the board at the time when they picked Jaylen Brown. Do we remember why they were booing? Was there somebody that everybody
had
there?
Murray, maybe?
Was that who it was at the time? I'm trying to remember. I do know that the Marcus Smart one had a little bit of opposition as well when that happened, but at least he didn't have any of that last night. So did they crap over the Marcus Smart pick too, or was it just the Jaylen Brown one?
No, okay. It was just the Jaylen Brown
That's
one.
What I kind of figured. Well,
let's see. Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray was there also. Those were the three.
I was all in on Buddy Hield. All I wanted was Buddy Hield that draft. I remember that. I wasn't pissed they got Jaylen Brown. But I definitely was a massive Buddy Hield fan. I remember what he did in that tournament. I mean,
He carried Oklahoma into the Final Four that year.
He was like, you know, the NCAA's version of Steph Curry. I mean, he could not miss from three during that tournament. Well, the Celtics last night, they didn't do any wheeling and dealing, and they stood pat with a number 53 overall pick and selected Alabama freshman guard J.D. Davison. Now, he's 6'3". He was like a consensus top 20 recruit back in 2021. He averaged almost 9 points and close to 5 assists for the Crimson Tide as a freshman. I guess the words I kept hearing over and over again, speed, athleticism. And if I had two wishes for the Celtics this offseason, it would be find a pure scorer from deep and stop turning over the ball. Well, this guy, unfortunately, in those aspects, is your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
He connected on just 30% of his three-pointers and averaged almost three turnovers per 26 minutes a game. So, I mean, this is not exactly what you were looking for as far as a hole to fill for the Celtics, but he's pick number 53, so who cares?
Well, one thing real quick, if you want to be excited about this pick, and God help you if you want to be excited about a late second-round draft pick, but if you do, go to YouTube and check out this guy's highlights.
And this is fun.
Something, is something Brad Stevens brought up in his press conference repeatedly. The athleticism of this kid
is
off the charts. Mm-hmm. I mean, really off the charts good.
Well,
so that's something to build on, if nothing else.
He's got that reminiscent almost of Jaylen Brown. You know how Jaylen Brown can be standing, you know, at the three-point line, and within 2 seconds, all of a sudden, he's got a full sprint, and he's dunking on a guy.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw, at least from the highlights last night. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've been watching, you know, I've known all about J.D. Davidson all of these, you know, all last year when he was a freshman. Matter of fact, I think one of the very first highlights I saw of him was last night, but that you're right. I watched, you know, some of his highlight reels, and he is that dude. Like, he goes from 0 to 60 pretty quick, and for being a dude who's only 6'3", he can get up there.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, and his dunks are fairly violent, which I kind of like. But here's Brad Stevens talking about J.D. Davidson's skill set, rather. I wonder if he's going to use the terms speed and athleticism.
He's 12 months removed from high school graduation, right? So he's played 1 year of college basketball at a very high level on a good team with guys that were there that were, you know, good playmakers in their own right. He had some incredible games, and he had some games where he looked like a freshman, but he also has consistently competed, consistently carried himself well on the court. And again, like, the ability to get into the paint is a hard thing to be able to do in this league. And some of that comes with experience, but we do think he's got a good feel as far as getting the ball out of his hands quickly and finding the right people.
Wow, he did that without seeing speed or athleticism.
He had one really big game, and he did it against a good team. He scored 20 on Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's when Gonzaga was ranked in the top three in the country. So he shot 6 of 10. He made 4 of 6 from 3. I mean, he had his one really big game against one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah. Well, Brad Stevens, he's going to be joining us at 9 o'clock this morning, and he can, you know, talk a little bit more about why they chose what they did. But all the draft graders seem to like the pick, with CBS Sports giving the Celtics an A-, saying, quote, about JD, he's still learning and feeling out the game, but he's a tremendous athlete with great burst and a real long-term developmental upside. And Yahoo gives the pick a B+, saying the Celtics went with one of the more athletic guys in the draft and got him late too. His assists, almost 5 per game, weren't too much higher than his turnovers, but he has the right idea as he displayed some unselfish playmaking in his 33 games played at Alabama. Hey, didn't the bettors lose their ass yesterday?
Yes.
On because if I'm not mistaken, Jabari Smith, wasn't he the consensus Vegas favorite who ended up ultimately going third to Houston? I thought he was a ridiculously high favorite before yesterday.
Up until yesterday, and all of a sudden, all the money swung wildly to Bankero. And it was weird because, we're texting back and forth to Joe Murray. It's as if the bettors absolutely knew something, because about 18 hours before the draft, all the money went to Bankero.
Yeah, because I saw that Bankero became like plus 1,000 or something, or minus that. It was like basically a favorite by a ton.
Yeah.
And it switched, like drastically switched. Yeah, I wonder if, like, maybe there was somebody who was, you know, a scout or somebody in the office who slipped and said something to somebody.
But it was weird because during the show yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that it's firming up. These are his words. It's firming up. The top three is firming up. It's going to be Jabari Smith 1, Holmgren 2, Bankero 3. This is what he tweeted out at about 9:30 in the morning yesterday. And then all of a sudden, it's 6 o'clock. He said, you know, there's gaining momentum for Paolo Bankero to be taken first overall. It's not often that Woj is wrong, but he was completely and utterly, couldn't have missed by more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these teams, something tips them off at the last minute. They make a decision. They hear something from somebody, and, you know, you can't screw this up. You know, there's a lot of, if you're lucky enough to be in a position where you get one of these top picks, I mean, think about it. How bad are the 76ers regretting making that trade with Danny Ainge, you know, for Markelle Fultz and Jason Tatum? I mean, if you screw this up, it could set your franchise back for a decade. I mean, think about Kevin Durant going number 2 because Greg Oden was the guy in Portland. you know, if they would have just picked Kevin Durant, who knows what trajectory they would have gone on.
Well, I mean, that, I can't blame them for taking Oden.
I don't know if anyone can blame them.
Yeah.
The Markelle Fultz one was something that I've said this before. Going into that, I don't think, I mean, in a long time, there was a surefire. Everyone was saying this is a full consensus number one and that Danny Ainge was crazy for trading to number three. And now look at it. I mean, that's still, it's so funny. Is despite all the things that Danny Ainge has done, I still think that might be his greatest move.
And you saw it, obviously, we just brought up the Bankero as opposed to Jabari Smith. But, I mean, Sacramento had a choice at four also. And they did not take a guy that Fred loved a lot, Jaden Ivey, out of Purdue. And there are multiple examples of Sacramento taking a guy and passing on another guy who went one pick later.
Sure.
It turned out to be a stud.
Yep.
I mean, it's happened to them three times in the last decade. I mean, they took Marvin Bagley second in 2018. You know who went third?
Who?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
They took Robinson. I forget his first name. Robinson, number five overall in 2012. The next guy was Damian Lillard. And they took, remember Jimmer Fredette?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jimmer Fredette went 10th to Sacramento in 2011. Klay Thompson went the next pick.
Yeah.
And so now you let Jaden Ivey go to five. Of course, he's going to be a stud.
There was a funny nugget from Steve Bulpet last night where he tweeted, quote, Eastern Conference coach just called laughing hard. He says, you can't believe some of the trade calls I'm getting tonight. Some serious, but so many are effing crazy. Some people just flinging blank against the wall. And then he said, gotta go. Think we got another call. I might have to duck again. What's great is that I think we all know that call has to be from Doc Rivers, right? Like that's, I mean, Steve Bulpet was close to Doc Rivers, the Eastern Conference guy. That's not a quote that, you know, Brad Stevens would be saying to anybody. Or, oh, he said a coach. Yeah, it wouldn't be Ime Udoka then. But, last night was crazy, not because of the draft, but because of all the other news that we got. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And we've got a trade expert from CBS coming on, talking about some of the more ridiculous things I have seen proposed over the last 24 hours involving the Celtics and possibly getting another superstar in this team. It's so ridiculous that who knows? It might end up happening.
I never understood why the Celtics would entertain any of this. Why they would entertain major changes.
Well, there's one superstar that would be worth probably at least entertaining it. Whether it's the right move, I don't know. But there's one that I heard yesterday mentioned by people that I kind of respect. Not kind of respect. One person I respect a lot as far as like Celtics knowledge. And it involves a major superstar. It would be one of the only names out there that I would mess up with the chemistry to make a move for. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But first, right after Arcan's headlines, the Bruins. How about that? Looks like they're running it back. A big announcement late last night. We will get to that right after your headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tetra and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I don't care for that at all.
Oh, no! Is this the Bone Man?
If that's what you want to call him, but John is just totally digging this.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Bones? Is that what we can call him?
Again, this is on you. Just read the script.
I'll be listening this morning at 6:55 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to go see Joe Bonamassa at the Leader Bank Pavilion on August 13th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster outlets. That's coming up at 6:55. Dan, you were just down at the Leader Bank Pavilion, right? You saw the Tears for Fears?
I did, yes.
$19 beers? Good for you.
Yep. I'll have one.
I love that venue. That venue is unbelievable.
It had been actually probably pre-pandemic, I think, since I had been to a show there. Yeah. And it just was so good to get out. It was a nice, great night. Garbage, the opening band, I was impressed with tremendously.
So Garbage is one of those bands that, really good. Like, if you were to go see Garbage in concert, you would be shocked at how many songs you
I really like that band. I'm sorry I missed
because
that.
Because we've had this conversation, and John and I have now had it 2 days in a row, about the number of songs that he thinks he would know from Tears for Fears. And he's like, oh, you can't even rattle them off the top of your head.
I'll tell you. It would be Head Over Heels, Shout, Sowing the Seeds of Love.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Everyone Wants to Rule the World, which is one of their biggest ones. You know what? Then there's the song that was covered
Mad World
in the Donnie Darko movie.
Yeah, that's right. You would know Change. You should know Pale Shelter.
I don't think I know those two.
I don't know Pale Shelter. I know Change.
That was before. So the big album with Everybody Wants to Rule the World, the album before that, The Hurting, is a great album.
They had an album before that?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of albums.
Yes. I thought like Shout was the first thing they did.
No.
I have no idea.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Not as old as me and John.
I bet that you could play that, and I'm not trying to be, you know, like super cool guy or whatever. I probably wouldn't know that song. I don't think I've heard it. I don't know. Maybe I've been in a grocery store or something. Was it a hit?
No, it's not a grocery store. It's more alternative. It was in that keyboard era of 1982-ish.
Flock of Seagulls type of era.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If I see a concert and I am a big fan of five of the songs, that's a good concert.
They got back. They were estranged. They didn't talk to each other for probably 20 years. They really, really couldn't stand each other. And for some reason, you think about getting back together because, hey, we can make a lot of money. We can go out on tour.
Yeah.
I mean, they opened up for Hall & Oates a couple of years ago at the Garden. But they got back together and decided to record an album, which, you know, can go either way. So they released an album in February.
So they had to play some new stuff.
Four or five songs off that. That's when you go and get your expensive beer.
Awful. At least it was a cheap show to go to, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. The ticket prices were outrageous.
That's hysterical.
The get-in price was, even on the day of, leading up to it, was a little bit north of $200.
Oh, what? Oh, my God.
See, Tears for Fears?
Yeah.
Yes. Lord.
So there's something weird about... Wow. So that era of music...
Holy moly. $200.
So that era of music, Christian, right now, has people who are of the age where
it's like Rolling Stones.
They just want to spend money. I mean, now the people who've saved it was. I think it was the Eagles. It was the first band to capitalize.
I'm just
going to
say
generation.
That. That's right.
It was maybe like 20 years ago. Eagles were the first ones to come out with tickets that were like $200 a pop. You're like, what are we talking about,
man?
But they knew that their target audience was like people hovering around, you know, like the late 40s, early 50s, who, you know, basically had money to burn because it's so. They said we're going to capitalize on it. So. Like, Tears for Fears is like that. You know, there's a concert that I bought tickets for before the pandemic, but it kept getting canceled and moved. That was one of the more expensive concert tickets I ever bought. And this band was around for a while, even when I was, like, a little kid. But I liked them even as a kid. So New Order was coming with the Pet Shop Boys.
Yep.
Oh.
And I thought that that would just be a crazy scene. Like,
get
the
your keyboards and strobe lights.
Oh, hell yeah.
And video screens.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I mean, first of all, the music, you're going to know, like, a million songs. Second of all, that show's the crowd's going to be a party.
Yeah.
You go to a Pet Shop Boys show, it's going to be a party. There's no question. But those tickets, I think I spent, boy, it might have been like $170 a ticket for that.
And it hasn't happened, right?
And it hasn't happened. It kept getting moved back. So I think it is happening. I've got them still.
Okay.
Like, I haven't been, like, I think it's going to happen later on. It's funny. I don't even know because it's been put off for 2 years whether they reschedule it. But I still have those.
Does New Order have is there someone else from the band that sings? The lead singer's long dead.
He was dead when they did the Regret album, right?
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's fine. That guy's still okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. It's New Order. Play Blue Monday and I'll be happy. I'm not quite sure. But, yeah, I mean, that era, just look. I mean, put it this way. If, like, the Smiths got back together, they'd charge $1 zillion per ticket. $1 zillion.
Never happen.
Yeah. We'll see. And that would be one show that I would probably pay $1 zillion to go see, too. One of the few bands, if they reunited. Them, Pink Floyd, and I'm trying to think.
Journey.
And if Steve Perry came back to Journey,
right.
I would see that.
Right.
Even though I've heard that the rest of Journey's a mess right now. And I think
right?
That was from you. I think I got that report.
Oh, no. I didn't like that show at Gillette because their lead singer was horrible.
Oh, it was just the singer.
No. Neil Sean and the band, they still have that huge, great sound. The lead singer was terrible.
Neil Sean looks like he's wearing a Neil Sean mask.
Well, his anthem at the NBA Finals was not good.
No. He's a longtime shredder. Well, Joe McDonald yesterday, long Bruins beat reporter, he tweeted out, hearing Patrice Bergeron has decided to return likely on a one-year deal with the Bruins. Once again, this has not been confirmed by the team. If I'm not mistaken, Joe McDonald's the only one reporting this. I haven't seen anything from, like, the guys at TSN.
He's worked for ESPN in the past. He's really good. Mm. So, I mean, this guy doesn't usually say stuff like this unless it's true.
Okay. what does that say to you that he's coming back and just for a year?
It's, well, there are two things. The obvious one is he hated Bruce Cassidy, wanted to play, but not with Cassidy as the head coach. And now that Cassidy's gone, he'll come and play.
Why do you say that? Why is that an immediate assumption? And I think it's a fair take.
Well, no.
But I'm wondering, why do you immediately connect the two dots?
Well, that's an obvious lazy thing. The first thing that comes to your mind is that. But the first thing I thought of when I read this last night was, why would you do that? Why would you come back again? I mean, obviously Bergeron is a winner. He wants to contend for a Stanley Cup. This roster is not able to do that. This roster is going to be short major stars for at least the first month of the regular season. Bergeron is 37 years old, and now he has to go get himself ready. He's hurt every offseason. He's got to now undergo the long rehab to get his body ready to go. He's not going to have Marchand at the beginning. He's not going to have McAvoy at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Swayman is the goaltender of the future, but you don't know if he can be a number one for 50 or 60 games, and the people in their conference and their division aren't getting any worse. I mean, the Bruins, I don't think I'm talking out of school, the Bruins aren't going to win the Stanley Cup next year. And Bergeron has, I think we all also agree, maybe 1 year left.
Okay,
so why put yourself through all this?
What if you're right and he didn't like Bruce Cassidy? Wouldn't part of the rationale of him coming back being, maybe it was Bruce Cassidy holding us back, and maybe we should give this one more go?
They don't know who the coach is, though.
But that's the
next
thing.
Coach could be worse.
Why come
but in their mind...
I didn't even bring that up. Why play for a coach you don't know?
Right. Well, maybe he does. Maybe he has an indication as to who they're leaning towards. And maybe he kind of has a say.
Unless it's Jay Leach, who we've talked about multiple times on this show, has been in the organization for multiple years, was an assistant in Seattle last year, but a lot of people on that roster know him from his time in Providence. Unless it's Jay Leach, why would you come back?
I mean, he still wants to play. That's the other thing, but, is that you just got to take the competitor. You can't just take that out of it. There's some people who just think they have hockey left, and he doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to be here, and maybe also he's got guys like Marchand saying, come on, man, let's do this one more time with a new coach, new attitude. Just do a year, see if you like it, and we'll go from there.
I mean,
doesn't mean that we're going to get a quality product out there, but it does mean that I can understand why he would do that.
I'm happy. I love watching Bergeron play. He's a top five athlete for me, but I don't want to see his last year end in a 500 team, you know, with another first round knockout. Look, maybe you're right. Maybe it's like, I'm a hockey player. That's what I do. I have more hockey in me. And now the head coach that was holding us back is no longer here. Let's try one more time. But I mean, it's just sad. This guy is the model of consistency. He's the guy. If you have a son who plays hockey, you point at that guy and go, I want you to play like him. But I don't want to see his career end this way.
Ooh, those first couple of months are going to just suck.
Yes.
it's going to be tough to watch.
Marcin was the best player on the team. He's not going to be there. McAvoy just finished fourth in the Norris Trophy voting. He's not going to be there. I mean, those are two massive losses. And the center position behind Bergeron is what?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. I think it's a situation where he knows what the coaching's like, who they've got in mind for the coach. Like, he wouldn't come back. Matter of fact, I think that they're telling him everything. I think that, you know, you could basically get the knee pads out from the upper management, Cam Neely and all those guys, because you heard in their post-season press conferences, that seemed to be their number one priority, is getting him back here. And you know what? I bet Krejci comes back now, too. I bet Krejci comes back, and there's this whole run-it-back theory. Well, listen, I mean, you could, oh, God, the Krejci thing. I hope it's not a permanent solution, but right now, they could use anything at center. Anything.
It speaks to the plan that this team has, which is we don't have a plan.
Yeah, no plan. Just wring out every last drop you got out of these guys.
And that puts the rebuild back.
That's all it is.
And that pushes the rebuild back another 2 or 3 years. This team doesn't have a farm system. This team has a bunch of aging players that are about to age out. I mean, Marchand's 32, 33. I mean, you need to start looking to the future. And, you know, I don't get it. I don't get any of this. And you're right. Maybe they bring Krejci back. And there's your second line center. But how old is he? So, I mean, I don't get any of this.
Well, I mean, that's going to be their plan. The fact that in the press conference, you had everybody saying, I mean, the fact that Krejci was even mentioned as being an option means that they want him back. And I guarantee you now that Bruce Cassidy's gone and Patrice Bergeron's announced it, I mean, how much longer till we find out that Krejci's going to be returning? There's no question in my mind now. When I saw that news last night, one of the first things I thought is, here comes the old gang again. I mean, if they could bring Tuukka Rask back, they would. If, like, Tuukka Rask wasn't broken, I guarantee he'd be part of the discussion as well.
One other thing, the Bruins don't have a lot of cap room. So Bergeron, who made north of $6 million last year, unless they get some players off this roster, is going to have to take a discount to come back.
He's going to do it for, like, not a lot.
I mean, and then even if you do that, how do you fit Krejci in? I mean, you talk about a discount for Bergeron. Krejci's going to only make $1 or $2 million unless they make massive changes.
Krejci's going to do it for a discount, too. I mean, it's not going to be like pennies, but it's not going to be anything like what he made before. I just think that they want to play together one last time. And I think that they, you know what, maybe you're right, John. Maybe they all didn't like Bruce Cassidy. But if that's the case, then I can see how they can convince themselves that it was Cassidy's fault that they didn't get further. And that they think with a new guy, with a new system, you know, somebody who will, you know, encourage the young players and somebody who will, you know, coddle the veterans, then maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to do something in the playoffs.
Do you think this team is going anywhere next season with Let's just say you bring Krejci back along with Bergeron, and those are your top two centers. And, you know, everyone gets healthy, and in December, they're full go. Everyone's healthy. Everyone stays healthy the entire season. And you have Swayman, who plays like he's supposed to play as a young goaltender, and everything is a full go. What's the ceiling for this team?
I mean, if they don't make any moves as far as, like, a center position, or if they don't get some more scorers, I don't know what they can do. But maybe they will. Maybe that's part of the plan. I don't know how they can make that happen. This is going to be the first, like, full year with Lindholm in there. You're going to have... You know, hopefully all of these guys, when they get back from their injuries, will be, you know, they'll be effective. Yeah, that's the other thing, is we don't know how well they're going to play once they return.
You got to wait until Christmas before they are full go.
It sounds like a mess, but then again, there's the, you know, kind of sentimental part of me that's glad we're not losing Bergeron. That we get one last year to watch Bergeron play with the, you know, kind of unwritten knowledge that this is it, that you get to kind of see his last go without it being a farewell tour.
I agree, and it's, like, nice for Bergeron, but don't we just keep doing this over and over with different players? Didn't we just do this with Chara, and didn't we sort of do it with Krejci, and now we got to do it with Bergeron? It's like all these windows keep closing, and instead of, like, loading up the team and trying to, you know, win one last one, it's now let's just run it back the same group and see if we can, you know, get one round further in the playoffs, which is really all you expect now, is maybe a one and done. You get to the second round, maybe, but, like, that's the max you can expect.
I mean, this isn't awful news.
They always, like,
this isn't something you should be upset about.
I'm looking forward to watching him. I mean, you get another 82 games of Bergeron. He's one of the best players in the history of this franchise. He's certainly the best defensive forward in the history of this franchise.
Put it this way, John, you're stuck in mediocrity no matter what. You might as well have it with another year of Bergeron.
Well, do you?
Am I wrong? Christian, no matter how you slice it,
he can still play. Yeah. It's not like he's cooked and he's sucks now. I mean, he can still obviously play.
But it puts off the rebuild another year or two.
But does it really? I mean,
yes,
does Bergeron absolutely does. He's not going to tie up a ton of money. They can still make
Bergeron
moves.
Bergeron makes you better. You get a worse draft pick, and instead of picking 9 or 10, you pick in the 20s.
See, the thing is, though, is I don't think they're bad enough to get, like, a great draft pick, and I don't even think that Bergeron...
Sweeney'd screw it up anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I don't think that Bergeron all of a sudden makes your team
better. If Bergeron doesn't come back, then you can look towards revamping the roster. Your center position is not
good.
They should
have done that years ago.
Of course, but now that's water under the bridge. But if Bergeron doesn't come back, you can immediately pivot and look to the future and say, okay, if Bergeron doesn't come back, maybe we're in fifth or sixth or seventh place in the division on Christmas Day or Valentine's Day. Okay, then you look at trading Marchand for a haul. Then you look, Pasternak's not going to come back. Maybe you look at trading him. Maybe there are a lot of other doors that open for you if Bergeron doesn't come back.
It's funny.
You can alter the future of this franchise quicker and maybe get it back to respectability quicker if Bergeron doesn't come back. That's all I'm saying.
Dan just said in my headphones, how about they get a coach? Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I think, though, with this news,
with Bergeron that you're going to have a coach announcement soon. I think that I think that he knows who it's going to be. I think they wanted to make sure that Bergeron was on board, and now that he's on board, I think they're going to announce who it is, and it is probably going to be Jay Leach.
Leach.
Yeah, it'll probably be him.
They interviewed David Quinn yesterday, so that's I don't think they've interviewed Leach yet. At least not that we know of. No. But Quinn, according to Fluter Shinzawa, way back at the beginning, right at the end of the season, he said Leach and Quinn were the two front runners. They've interviewed Quinn. I still think they have to interview Leach before they make up their mind.
Bruins Luchador. How are you guys going to ruin my Friday before 7 a.m. already? Come on, Bruins Luchador. You knew this was all coming. And this isn't awful news. As I said, they're going to be mediocre either way. Now they're just going to be mediocre with one last year of Bergeron, which as a fan, as I said, it's the sentimental part of me doesn't think that sucks. Fine. He's not going to cost you a ton of money. He's not going to prevent you from making any moves. It's going to be weird to see him back out there with Krejci again. That's going to be strange. How many years in a row have they said, let's run it back? It's been like...
Too many is the answer.
4 years now?
Too many.
All right. Well, call our number 10 right now. You're going to run it back to a little rock and roll. When you call the Pride Motor Group hotline at 617-931-0985, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Bone Man, Joe Bonamassa, at the Leader Bank Pavilion on August 13th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster outlets. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.